Oh, yeah, I dislike the Niners. Everybody know that. I don't like the Niners at all. They don't like us. It's just a rival. Every time we play, it's a dogfight, and that's how it is, you know. No love at all towards them guys. You know, I really dislike them, and, you know, we'll see them twice this year, so.
Debo, I know you've had some back and forth with Aaron Donald. I don't know if that's friendly or not. Have you actually ever met Aaron Donald or talked to him?
No, I haven't.
Would you like to?
I'm not pressed for a conversation.
Now, back to the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky.
Well. Both those guys are not going to be in this game on Sunday. Aaron Donald and Deebo Samuel, the first time the Niners have not seen Aaron Donald in over a decade. And he's kicking the Niners' ass for many, many years, although it didn't always translate on the scoreboard. But he got the one that mattered to us a lot, and that was the NFC Championship game out in 2022, in January of that year. So he got that one.
Might have been his finest moment.
Yeah, I mean, the final
fourth
drive.
Fourth quarter.
Dominated, took over, a la Chris Jones. And Deebo Samuel's had some monster moments against the L.A. Rams, Monday Night Football. I mean, he's dominated the Rams. Hell, he kept the Niners in that game in the NFC Championship game with a nice little gun run, and he scored four touchdowns. So they're going to be missing some juice here. No Aaron Donald on one sideline. I wonder if he's going to come back if the Rams get back in it. And there's no Deebo Samuel on the other side for the 49ers, as he's going to be out for a couple weeks, maybe a few weeks, with the calf strain. So no Deebo, no Aaron Donald. And now it's Brock Purdy and friends. And Brock Purdy may have to go about his business without George Kittle, Chris McCaffrey, and Deebo Samuel. We know those two, the latter two, are out, C-Mac and Deebo Samuel. But George Kittle, on the fence, did not practice yesterday due to hamstring tightness. So a lot of people, as you just said, Joe, and it's kind of a conversation we had in training camp, like, well, if Ayuk gets traded, well, let's see what Brock looks like without Brandon Ayuk. And, you know, I kind of backed up off of that. I was like, I want Brock to have all these weapons. You need weapons to play in this game. You need all the weapons. But I do think there's a lot of people out there, Niner fans, because you got to make a decision after the season, how much you're going to pay them, 60, 50, 40 million. It's something that's going to be talked about all season long. But I think there are a lot of Niner fans who are eager to see what he looks like without all his premium weapons.
Think about Stafford, the guy they're going up against. How many Lions fans who caped up for Stafford were like, I just want to see what he looks like in a better, more well-run organization?
Yeah.
Right? Like, we do this all the time, you know? We do this all the time. And I was thinking, like, I used to defend Steve Young all the time, right? And I remember hearing some of other people that would, like, bash Montana when Montana was leaving and he's going to the Chiefs. We'll see what he looks like when he's away from Bill Walsh and Holmgren. We'll see what he looks like when he's not throwing it to Jerry Rice and playing with this team. And he goes to Marty Schottenheimer's team. And he's throwing to, like, Willie Davis, okay, who no one will remember, right? No, he was handing off to Marcus Allen. But Marcus, similar to Joe, like, felt like a vagabond, like he was an afterthought because of what had happened with him and the Raiders. And, you know, he's handed off to Kimball Anders. But it also proved, like, Joe was special. Yeah. Joe could do it with just about anybody. Yep. You know, when Tom Brady left Bill Belichick, how many people were asking, like, can he do it away from Belichick? Can he do it away from McDaniels and not be in that system? Now, he had great personnel in Tampa Bay, but it was the Tampa Bay Bucks who were known for just being dysfunctional and mediocre. So I think that we do this in sports all the time. We ask these questions all the time. And I think it's fair to fascinate. Now, is it optimal? No, it's optimal to have five studs out there that you're handing off to and throwing to. But there is a part of me that's fascinated to see what it looks like. And I think that you can gain a lot of respect if you're on the outside of the Brock Purdy, I think he's really, really good circle. Let's say you're on the outside and you're skeptical. Can he win you over this weekend?
So let me throw a hypothetical then. What if the Niners win, I don't know, 17-16? He throws a pick, he throws one touchdown, throws for about 190 yards. How are people going to feel about that?
Just win, right? Isn't that the ultimate?
Yeah, but to your point, there's also the Brock Purdy scoreboard. So are people going to say, boy, he struggled without his weapons. Boy, you can't give this guy all the money.
I think you just got to find a way to win, even if it's ugly. Because we've gained a lot of respect on quarterback. For example, the other night, Caleb Williams, they lost to the Texans.
Right.
They didn't look great offensively at all. He got pounded. And I came walking away from that game going, that guy's really tough. I don't know how good he's going to be, but I respect him. He came out and I gained more respect for the individual. So No, it doesn't always happen, but there are times where it can look really ugly and somehow you come away having more respect for the individual.
Well, that's kind of where I fall here. I don't really care what Brock Purdy's numbers look like. I'm not looking to see, you know, I'm not going to get any extra excitement knowing that, oh, boy, Brock Purdy, boy, he's got to go out there without Ayuk. I'm eager to see this, man. I want to see him prove that he's a really good quarterback. I actually worry a little bit thinking, boy, knowing that if George Kittle doesn't play, then the Rams and their defense, and let me look at their defensive coordinator, Mr. Shula here, Chris Shula, part of Shula lineage. If Shula's always been in the NFL, feels like forever, they're always going to be a Shula. But what is he going to do with Brandon Ayuk here?
Always going to be a Shula.
What are they going to do with Brandon Ayuk? Now that you got Brandon Ayuk, will they double Ayuk? Will they bracket Jennings? How do they play this here defensively? Because if you do take away Ayuk, because I think the bigger spotlight, our YouTube poll question right now, YouTube poll question is, who's got the bigger spotlight on them, Brandon Ayuk or Brock Purdy? I think if Purdy struggles, you can make the excuse for him that he didn't have C-Mac, he didn't have Debo, he didn't have George Kittle, the run game wasn't effective, you put too much on his plate, they took away his number one wide receiver. I actually think the spotlight is bigger on number 11, Brandon Ayuk, to prove that, hey, I'm a bona fide number one. I know the game plan's coming towards me. I know they're shadowing me. I know they're going to bracket me. They're going to press me. They're going to have somebody over the top, blah, blah, blah. I got to go out there and ball out and go get over 100 yards. I almost think the spotlight's bigger on Brandon Ayuk because of the way this past summer played out for Brandon Ayuk and with the fan base, with the 49ers, and the way he has started slow in the first 2 weeks, which we all anticipated anyway due to the hold-in. So, Brock, I think there would be a built-in excuse from a lot of people if he does struggle statistically in a win.
That's a fair counter. You know, I just always come back to the quarterback gets the most heat just in general. Yeah. But, you know, where Ayuk is currently with the fan base in terms of approval rating, it's not high. There are a lot of people waiting for that man's downfall. So I don't deny you on that. I think about some ugly wins where we felt really good about a quarterback. And I go back to the Jimmy Garoppolo Pittsburgh Steelers game at home where you always say, like, Tomlin came walking across, like, you got a quarterback. Yeah, and it was an ugly game. Yeah. I think it was like a 13-12 or.
It was nasty. It was five turnovers. Yeah, it was hard hitting.
It wasn't clean.
It was
bad. But you walked away from that game going, I think we got something here,
3-0.
Right?
3-0.
And I think Purdy has a long enough resume that proves that when they're at full strength, he's pretty freaking good. Now you got to check one of those boxes of, can you find a way to win one when the chips are really down against you?
But here's the deal. You say that quarterback always gets the most heat. And I agree with that.
Typically.
Typically, right? Because week two, coming off the Minnesota loss, who got the most heat coming off that Minnesota loss?
I think Shanahan, because of the way they got outcoached.
Shanahan got all the heat.
Yeah.
Shanahan got all. Hell, Brock Purdy threw two picks in Minnesota last year in the fourth quarter. And we used concussion gate. Oh, he was concussed.
Yeah, I don't think everyone, but.
But a majority, because even David Lombardi, who I respect as a journalist, I do respect him. I know we make fun of him sometimes, but I respect the hell out of Lombardi. He does his work. He does his research. He puts in the work. He does. You cannot take that away from him. David Lombardi from SF Standard. But he even was coming at me. It's like, well, context matters, and he had a concussion. So,
well, you're out.
And
there,
even the Cincinnati game the next week, I don't think Brock got a lot of heat. He was playing with a concussion. The Cleveland game, we went to Jake Moody. We went to other guys. So I don't know here with Brock Purdy if he's faced that same heat as other quarterbacks around the league. Even coming off the Super Bowl.
No, but he's a darling. And Wilkes. No, I agree with the point in that he doesn't get as much heat as that. Like, for example, like when Lamar Jackson loses, Lamar Jackson gets crushed. Oh. But Lamar's also making $180 million.
There's
and
no
so,
doubt.
Like, I look at Dak Prescott. When Dak was making $500,000 or whatever it was when he was a fourth rounder, I don't think he got even close to the criticism that he's gotten since signing the first contract, the big contract, and then the second one, right? And so I think the spotlight grows and grows and grows. The longer you play, the more money you make. You know, how many year after year, maybe disappointments that you have, like Josh Allen right now. Like Josh Allen, there's a light on him. And good or bad, when he wins, there's style points. Because of how much he makes and because of how many, you know, good players they've had to say goodbye to afford that roster. So, yeah, I do believe that to an extent, Purdy has been sheltered from certain criticism. But you know how this fan base works, and you know how that position works.
Well, right now, I would say, I think this Sunday, Brandon Ayuk has maybe a slightly bigger spotlight on him without all these weapons. Like, if Juwan Jennings outsides Brandon Ayuk and they win, well, people are going to be like, we overpaid Brandon Ayuk. We should have just traded him. That's what people are going to say. You know that.
I think that's a season-long convo, but I get what you're saying.
But we go this, we do this week to week. I agree. We should let the season play out. Yeah. But we know how it works in the NFL. We don't let that happen at all. All right, what's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank Celebration.